In Acts chapter 8, Philip is sent by the Holy Spirit to join a man riding in a chariot. And he asks him a question. Philip says, heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Christ died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. But he had a purpose. And when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Brother Jim sings, when he was on the cross. Once again, Peter preaching in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse number 34. Peter learns that not only was Peter on the Lord's mind when he died, but that Ethiopian was on his mind. and a man named Cornelius was on his mind. And if you'll turn and trust Christ in simple childlike faith, I can say on the authority of Scripture that you were on his mind as well as he hung there on the cross. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to eyewitnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Listen as the choir sings "The Power of the Cross."
Thank you.
As I read to you in Acts chapter 10, Christ is not still hanging on the cross. He's not still lying in the tomb. After 40 days of demonstrating himself fully and physically alive, he ascended back to heaven, where he now stands and sits at his Father's right hand in a throne prepared for him. Acts 10:42, the Apostle Peter said, "He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead." And then later, the Apostle Paul, preaching the same thing, Christ crucified, buried, resurrected. He'll say in Acts chapter 17, verse number 31, "Because God has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man Jesus, whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead." Believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The lost will stand before the great white throne of Jesus Christ. There is a higher throne.
The high
so I hope you see the theme of Resurrection Sunday. The tomb is empty, once occupied and now abandoned by the only king who had to come and win his kingdom in his death. And so salvation comes as we plead the blood that was shed on that cross. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. He died for us in our place, took our place on that cross, and suffered my eternal punishment on that cross. So now my sins are forgiven because I can plead the blood. I plead not my righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Christianity is about Christ's work being done, not about my work being done for Him. When He was on the cross, He saw me. He knew me. Not only on the cross, but from an eternity past, before the foundations of the world were laid, my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. But the power of the cross is a wonderful invitation. You sit here this morning and you do not know Christ as personal Savior. If you'll agree with God that you're a sinner, and we are all sinners, but if you'll agree with God that you're a sinner, and you'll believe that Christ died for you, you may be saved and have eternal life. The power of the cross can reach the Ethiopian. It can reach the Roman centurion. It can reach the woman at the well. It can reach a woman possessed of demons. It can reach a man whose life was given to money and avarice. It can reach a man in the gutter. It can reach from the guttermost to the uttermost, someone once said. And that surely includes you. If you'll hear the message of the cross, it's to the world a foolish message. The world's message is get intellectual advancement, get economic advancement, get social advancement, get prosperity and things and gain and get and gain the world. But the Bible asks, what would a man give in exchange for his soul if he gained the whole world? The world is not an exchange for your soul. Only the death of Jesus Christ is an exchange for your soul. What are you living for? I trust that your presence in a place of worship this morning at least acknowledges that you recognize that you have a soul. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. The soul never dies. Your body may be placed in a tomb, but the same power that raised Jesus from the dead will someday raise your body up from the dead. The question being, will it be unto a resurrection of life where you'll spend eternity with God forever in heaven, or will it be a resurrection unto damnation where you'll spend eternity in a devil's hell, forever separated from the God who made you, the God who created you, the God whose very purpose was to gain glory through your life? What will your answer be? The Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter, as they go through the events of their life in the book of Acts, they knew there was an empty tomb. They knew Jesus was the only king. They knew the blood was the only answer. They knew that when He was on the cross, He was saving them, and He will save all who come to Him by faith. The power of the cross reaches across the ages, reaches across the years. Our time is measured by the advent of Christ. Our clock, it looks to the time of Christ coming. But more importantly, it looks forward to the Christ who's coming again. You will bend your knee. You will bow your head someday. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I have the blessed, wonderful privilege to offer to you the opportunity to bend your knee and bow your heart and accept Christ as Lord and Savior today. I must warn you, someday you will bend and bow and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. But if you wait to the great white throne judgment, it will be too late to change your eternal destination. It'll be too late. You will come to the same inevitable, inescapable truth. Because this is true. Christ died. He was buried. And He rose again. I'd ask that every head be bowed, every eye be closed. Every head be bowed. Children, please now, very quiet. Very quiet, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. An invitation solo will be sung. And this will be the invitation hymn. If God is speaking to your heart, you need to respond publicly, I invite you to come. No one standing, no one staring, no one looking around. Every head bowed. Close your eyes. Children, you know how to do this. You know how to close your eyes. Bow your head. Close your eyes. You know how to do this. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I pray you would bless this invitation. It was for you.
It was for you, the Savior died, for you His precious blood flowed from His side. It was for you, the Savior.
Still closed. I'm going to ask the piano just to play softly through a verse of that, just softly. I'm going to read to you Acts chapter 17. Apostle Paul says, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. Maybe the word means religious. I know some people may be here today out of superstition, out of religiosity. The Apostle Paul says, I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. I know some of you believe in God, but you don't know Him. You don't really know Him. You don't really serve Him. You don't really love Him. Paul says, I declare Him unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelling not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, We ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. I close with this appeal. If after the service you need to speak to me or to someone, some of you may mock. Some of you may say you'll hear again another time. Some of you may believe in the crucified, buried, and resurrected Lord. And I trust in this number some already are believing and have received Christ as Lord and Savior. And truly we'll celebrate Resurrection Sunday this Lord's Day. We'll be dismissed in prayer.